2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, for which cause, Paul's writing by the Spirit here, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, talking about the physical body, gets old, it's getting older, you know, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I'm all up in this verse this weekend. This verse got up in my weekend, you know. Amen. And, you know, I'm getting a lot out of it myself, but I just felt prompted to preach on it for everybody, for all of us. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, you could look at that and say, well, that inward man being renewed doesn't affect the outward body at all. But if we had the time, which we won't take the time, we could go and show you from Proverbs and other places that the condition of the inward man greatly affects the condition of the physical man. So don't misunderstand what Paul's saying there. He's just simply saying he's getting older is what he's talking about. And we don't have yet the full redemption of our bodies. This body will get older. It will eventually die if Jesus doesn't come back. But the Bible does talk about that we have a down payment on really this body is going to be eventually changed to become an immortal body, the Bible says. Mortality shall take on immortality, and death shall be swallowed up with life. And remember those verses? We're going to get a new body one day, and it's going to be immortal and be not subject to death. And the Bible says in Romans 8, we have the down payment on that right now. And if you want to know what that is, he said in Romans 8, it's the quickening of this mortal body. The word quickening means making alive. This mortal body can be sustained and made, can be refreshed and renewed and re-strengthened by doing what's in this verse, continuing to develop the inward man and let the inward man have the opportunity to be renewed day by day. I don't know about you, but I've met a lot of believers that you can tell because of their walk with God, they don't look as old as some worldly folks. I mean, just serving God will keep you young, keep you full of energy, keep you sharp. You know, it shouldn't be part of our confession. Well, I'm getting older. I'm just falling apart. No, you should say, no, my outward man is strengthened because my inward man is renewed day by day. And the life of God that raised Jesus from the dead quickens this mortal body. The mortal one. This one. The mortal one. Makes it full of life. Don't ever let me hear you say, well, I'm just wearing out. I'm just falling apart. My old knees don't work. My old shoulders don't work. No, I can't hear, huh? Can't hear. Don't let me hear you talking like that. We don't want to have to put soap in your mouth and put. We would hate to have to do that. But this is not something, this refreshing or renewing of the inward man is not something that happens automatically. Right. We need to come over to the book of Isaiah and look with me if you brought your Bible to the 40th chapter of Isaiah. There's a verse here that we can't hardly preach this subject without going to. Isaiah 40, we'll just start reading in verse number 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? Fainteth not, neither is weary. He never gets tired. There's no searching of his understanding. That could preach for a whole week. He gives power to the faint. Who does he give power to? The faint. People that are weary, tired, worn out. You know, if you ask a lot of people how they do it, and they just, a lot of them are just living tired. Man, I just so tired. Just don't have the energy I used to have. Well, that's not supposed to be the Christian. That was awfully weak. No, he said there, the creator of the ends of the earth, he faints not, neither is where there's no searching of his understanding. He doesn't just hold that to himself, though. He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Boy, I've been there. I have been there a number of times, where if it wasn't for the renewing and the presence of God and waiting on the Lord and feeding on His Word, I'd have given up many, many, many times. I would not be here today. I know that. Thank God for a place you can go and get revived, get re-energized, get re-strengthened, get rebuilt up. And boy, you get re-encouraged like we were talking about in the offering. Hallelujah. You know, we live in a culture that the world is looking for the ultimate renewable energy. They're looking for, you know, wind energy, sun energy, and all those things are energies, and they're trying to harness that and trying to do away with fossil fuels. I don't think so far they've gotten to the place you can do away with fossil fuels. So any legislation that tries to do away with it, it's a scam.
Yes, it is.
Science has proven they've not yet gotten enough ability to harness the sun and the wind and all that to keep our society on the level of power that we are operating on as far as electricity and all that we do. You can't do it. It's not feasible at this point. So don't fall for all that stuff. That was just a little side note right there. But as far as renewable energy, God's power is and God's strength surging into us through waiting on the Lord and feeding on His Word, speaking in other tongues, building ourselves up on our most holy faith. That's the most renewable energy on the planet. It will never run out. Never run out. He doesn't get weary. And He said, I'm offering you my strength. I'm offering you my just continual power in order to strengthen you. I have preached on this subject of strength and the inward man. I don't know. We're going to put a series out in Jim Archives on it. I think how many did we find? 7, 8, or 10 different times we've preached on it here. And I'm convinced there's a lot of Christians still don't understand what I'm preaching about. I'm just convinced that they drag spiritually a lot more than they really need to.
Yes, sir. Come on.
They're just weak spiritually, emaciated. And there are indications that it's the case. Doesn't have to be that way. Doesn't have to be that way. You might say, well, I don't have time in the morning to feed my spirit and to build myself up. Well, you'll have time to drag. You'll have time to be defeated. You'll have time to not have the strength to overcome what Satan throws at you. You know what I'm talking about. Whenever people are talking about all this stuff I'm dealing with all this stuff, it's a sign and indication of weakness. Their mouth, it proves it. Doesn't have to be that way. I said it doesn't have to be that way. We'll look at that before we close, hopefully today. But notice here he says, verse 29, he gives power to the faint, to them that have no might. He increases strength. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. In other words, it's not just youth that makes us strong. There's more to being strong than just being young. So don't let the devil tell you, you know, I'm getting older and I'm getting weaker. There's a source of strength. I've known some older folks that are real feisty. Man, they won't give up and die. They won't give up to disease. They won't give up on the grandkids that don't want to serve God. They're feisty. They're strong. And that comes from a strong spirit. So he said, even the young people need strength and energy sometimes. I mean, you can get tired. It doesn't matter if you're 17 or not. Verse number 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? There are some spiritual skills and spiritual disciplines, you might say, that makes you or I successful in our Christian life. And there are some spiritual habits that people who really know God and that succeed in life and ministry possess. And this is one of them right here, learning to spend time in the presence of God waiting on the Lord.
Amen.
It's something that is a lost art in our culture. People literally don't know what you're talking about. Christians don't know what you're talking about. Word of faith people have learned to walk by faith, make confessions, and they think that replaces waiting on the Lord. It does not. Confessions are giving out of the faith and strength of spirit that you have. If you keep giving out without taking in, you will crash and burn. And you'll wonder why you're going through the motions of faith, but there's no power coming out of your confession. There's no force in the spirit realm that's putting the devil on the run. There's nothing to keep Satan from coming in and just overrunning your life. It's not just words. It's not just words that he runs from. It's the power of God in those words that he runs from. And you can mouth empty words and have no sword of the Spirit in them. They have no power in them because they don't come from a spirit that's been built up and strong in those words.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. It's not enough just to keep on giving out, keep on giving out. You've got to take in spiritually. Now, look at Psalm 27. Verse number 14, this waiting on the Lord is mentioned many, many times in the Bible. Now, I won't take time to get into all of it, but I do want to look at Psalm 27. If you can look at it with me, turn over there. We're going to look at verse number 14. Psalm 27, verse number, actually, let's back up to verse number 13. 13 and 14 together, really, they go together. He said in verse 13, I had fainted. Have we read that verse anywhere? Excuse me. Have we read that word? Yes, we've seen it. Already, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The land of the living is this life down here, this earth walk. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Notice that we don't see and to believe, we believe to see. The Christian life is a walk of faith. When we don't see what God promised us, we believe to see it.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? We don't wait to see to believe. We believe in order to see. The world has it backwards. They say seeing is believing. God said believing is seeing. So without going into that much further, keep on reading. I would have fainted unless I'd believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Then verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Have we read that verse? Have we read anything about courage already today? Be of good courage, and he will strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Well, Christians read that and they say, well, I'm waiting. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about waiting for God to do something. The word wait means to minister unto, to worship. And really, in the book of Isaiah there, it said, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. That literally means the word wait means to twist together with and become one with. When you wait on the Lord, what he is and what he has comes into your spirit. You're taking in of what he is, and you are becoming one with him. His strength becomes your strength. And out of that strength, you're now able to produce something that you weren't able to produce before.
Yeah.
It's the same thing Jesus talked about in the 15th chapter of John's gospel, whenever he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Then he said, without me, you can do nothing. In other words, can't bring forth any fruit. Anything we can produce in this life is through the strength, the wisdom, the life and energy, the force and freshness that we get by abiding in him that comes into our spirit through waiting on him, ministering to him, worshiping him, reading his word, speaking in other tongues, and just spending time in his presence. That is a source of refreshing, a source of renewal, spiritual renewal. That if you don't get it regularly, daily, If you don't get that, you start getting spiritually weak.
Yeah.
Things start showing up. Things start creeping in. Things start, the fleshly lusts are begin to be yielded to. It's harder to resist a bad attitude. It's more easy to get out of love. It's more easy to give in to the flesh. It's more easy to walk by sight than it is by faith. But when you're strong spiritually, the fruit of the Spirit, they have been nourished. They have been fed, and everything that is in your spirit, because he came into your spirit, all of a sudden you've got the strength of spirit to exercise all of it. You can walk in, you can stay in the joy of the Lord whenever things are around you making you want to be depressed. You can stay in peace when things are trying to make you anxious. You can stay in love when people are trying to get you in the flesh and in fighting. You can stay in temperance whenever your flesh says just give in and yield to it. You can stay in faith when sight says it's not working. Because you have taken in. You have taken in. I said you have taken in. Oh, my Lord. You and I need this more than we need the next breath we have. Amen. What would have become of me? One translation says, I think it's the Amplified, instead of verse number 13, I had fainted. The Amplified says, what would have become of me? If I had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But then he said, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he'll strengthen thy heart. In other words, there's a connection between you and I's ability to get in his presence and be renewed on the inward man and our ability to stay in faith.
Yeah. Come on.
Put verse 13 and 14 together. Can you see that? The verse 13 is talking about walking by faith. And he said, I don't know what would have become of me if I hadn't stayed in faith. But he said, here's what I had to do to stay in faith. I had to renew my spirit by spending time waiting on the Lord. Now, that's not everything. People, they want to take in, and take in, and not exercise their faith, and nothing's happening on that side either. But I'm just simply saying we've got to understand both sides of this. All right, so are you in the service now? The spiritual discipline of waiting on God and prayer and fellowship is a lost art in the body of Christ. But we've got to learn to cultivate this spiritual habit. I know of people that struggle with things in their life in a certain area, and they have struggled for years through interaction with them one-on-one for years, struggled for years. And I know exactly what the root of the whole thing is. They barely ever start their day ministering to the Lord, waiting on the Lord. I don't have time. Well, you've wasted a lot of time in your life struggling with that thing. What's your alternative? I'm not upset at anybody. I'm just simply saying that God has something better for you. Far better. Hallelujah. So cultivate this spiritual habit. Amen. Your mind will say, I'm not getting out anything out of it. You say, shut up, mind. Your body will say, I'm not getting anything out of it. You say, shut up, mind. This is not a mental thing. This is not a physical thing. This is a spiritual thing, first of all. And then it'll show up in the heart and the mind. Someone said, I've never had that surge of strength I hear you talking about sometimes, spending time with God, that surge of strength where something rises up on the inside of you and you're like, give me this mountain. Show me where the devil is. I'll take his head off. I've never had that happen. Let me tell you why. You haven't spent time long enough. And some people haven't spent time long enough for years. Amen. Amen. Cultivate this habit. It's a discipline. And there are several invaluable blessings that will show up in your life that you cannot get any other way. And one of these great blessings of fellowshipping with God, waiting on the Lord in prayer, is spiritual edification. Spiritual renewal. The inward man being built up. Go to Ephesians 3:16 and notice this. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. It says in the Amplified, may he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened. Hallelujah. The rich treasury of his glory. In his glory is everything you need. In his presence. In his presence. That's what the glory of God is. It's his manifest presence. In the presence of God, he said, there's a rich treasure of strength. Amen. Now, somebody said, like I said, I've never experienced what you talk about. where that surge of strength comes into your spirit and just radiates out through your being. Well, you haven't spent enough time, number one. And number two, you probably haven't controlled your attention enough.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. There you go.
One of the biggest keys to this is controlling your attention.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You can't do this while your attention's on everything else.
Yeah.
Amen.
My son, Proverbs 4, attend to my word. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. So your attention, your ears. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Then what happens? They are life. Whew. They are life to those that find them. I've never experienced what you talk about, Pastor. You haven't attended. You haven't put your eyes and your ears. Shut everything else out. Jesus said, when you pray, enter into your closet and shut thy door. That includes your cell phone. That includes Facebook. That includes everything. Nobody but me and Jesus is going to have my attention right now. This is my time with him, and nobody's going to rob me of it. Martha criticized Mary. Because Martha's serving, and Mary chose to sit at his feet and hear his word. And she said, you know, because Jesus was, she went to Jesus, don't you care that Mary has left me to serve alone? And Jesus looked at her and said, Martha, Martha. My mom, when she said my name twice, I knew I'm in trouble. Martha, Martha. He said, I don't remember which translation it is. So many other translations I quote so often. Something like, you worry and fuss about a lot of different things. That's one translation. You worry and fuss about a lot of different things. Only one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part. And she's, one translation says, she's not to be dragged away from it. The staff knows you don't contact me unless it's an emergency until at least 10 a.m. Someone said, you sleep in that late? Absolutely not. But I block everything out until that time. The Lord said to me years ago, you tithe you tithe your time every day.
Amen.
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 I don't have that kind of time. Well, I mean, it's whatever's important to you.
That's right.
You fellowship with God as much as you hunger for him. You know God as much as you're hungry to know him. I got so many things to do. Well, cut something out. I can't. Oh, yeah, you can. Well, I better get off of that. That's not going over real big. The Amplified in the Ephesians 3:16, that he may grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. I like all those words, strengthened, reinforced with mighty power. Where? In the inward man. In the inward man. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Your spirit needs to be strengthened or renewed day by day. According to these verses. Isn't that right? It needs daily life infusions in order to stay strong and maintain a lifestyle of, listen to this, constant victory.
Amen.
Not win some, lose some. To have constant victory. Paul said, I am ready for anything. I am equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's the Amplified mixed with the King James. Amen. Through him who infuses inner strength into me, I can do all things. We read that verse and we miss the infusion. We miss the strength infusion that Paul had learned to minister to the Lord and wait on the Lord and take that on, that strength on the inside of him.
Yes,
Paul didn't just get renewed day by day because he kept on out there, you know, preaching. He kept on spending time getting renewed day by day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Give us this day, the Bible says, our daily bread. You need daily food spiritually like you need daily food physically. And you might think you're getting away with it, but not. I told Pastor Debbie the other day, I said, I cringe if anybody in the congregation is trying to live off Sunday and Wednesday. They'll never make it. And that's not any slam on the preacher. But you can listen and go out and forget about it, not think about it until the next service. I cringe that anybody even tries to do that. You can't do that with food. How many are going to eat this afternoon and then eat again on Wednesday night and that's it? You wouldn't think about it in the flesh. Why do we think about it in the spirit? People eat one or two cold snacks a week spiritually and wonder why they're spiritually weak. It's no mystery. If we said you can't eat for the rest of this week, till next Sunday afternoon, we'll take you to lunch. But up until that time, you can't eat. Listen, we meet you on Sunday, you're going to be weak. Isn't that right? Why do we think we're anything different than strong if we don't feed on the Word and spend time in His presence more than just two times a week? I cringe that anybody's trying to do that. I would not make it. I've had people come up to me, do you have any tests and trials? They can see the strength of what we walk in, and they wonder, do you have any tests? Oh, yeah, honey, you want to trade? But see, it doesn't show up. Doesn't show up on our countenance. It doesn't show up in our mouth, our lips, our words. It doesn't show up in our dragon. We don't look like it. We got a smile on our face. That's strength. Well, I just have too many tests or trials. Go to Proverbs. Chapter number 24, if you can handle it. Verse number 10, Proverbs 10, 24. If thou faint in the day of adversity, your problems were too big. What did I read wrong? If thou faint in the day of adversity is test and trials, isn't it? If we faint or give up in the day of adversity. Now, let me be, in case you're wondering what giving up means. In case you're wondering what that means. Anybody want to know what that means? That means you start doubting. That means you become discouraged. That means you get overwhelmed. You get stressed, depressed. Amen. Giving in to temptation. Giving in to wrong thoughts that you once resisted. You start wanting to quit. You want to run and hide. Don't nobody know where you went. Amen. You're no longer patient. You're no longer enduring. Those are all indications of weakness. No joy. That's an indication of weakness. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So, if you and I do all that, according to Proverbs 24, verse 10, if we faint, give up, we're wanting to quit, we're doubting, we're yielding to the flesh, yielding to temptation, no joy, discouraged, all those things that I just mentioned. If that's happening in our life, notice what he said, thy strength, in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Yeah. Notice he didn't say the tests and trials are too big and too many. I remember a verse, God is faithful who will not suffer us to be tempted above that which we are able.
Yes, right.
There's a limit to how far the devil can go. So if we're overwhelmed, it's not because too much is coming against us. It's because we're not practicing the word to be strong enough to still answer the bell and get up in the morning with a shout saying, I always triumph in Christ. Weakness doesn't do that. Weakness rolls out of bed groaning. Think, oh, I got to face all this. Oh, weakness. Notice, could you see that? Notice he didn't say that if you faint, it's because adversity is too big. He said it's because your strength was too small. There is a difference. Now, one is laying the blame somewhere else. You know, well, too many tests and trials. You're trying to blame all this out here for why I'm discouraged and why I'm weak.
Come on.
I know people, they don't like this kind of preaching sometimes because it puts the responsibility back on us. Before I finish that statement, let me remind you of Ephesians 6:10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Notice he didn't say, God will make sure you're strong. No, he's talking to you and me whenever he said, you, that's the understood subject. You and me, you and I, it's our responsibility that we're strong.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not up to God.
That's right.
It's not up to the devil because there's so many tests and trials he brought. That doesn't affect, listen, that can drain you of strength, but there's a source in the day of adversity where you can get more strength than he's taken out of you. God is well able to keep you up, keep you encouraged, keep you strong, and keep you answering the bell and laughing all the way as you go to the other side. He's able to make you more than a conqueror. But you and I have got to practice this word, waiting on the Lord, feeding our spirits. Amen. Now, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. So he's saying, he didn't say that the adversity is too big. He said that our strength is too small. There's a difference. One's laying the blame somewhere else. The devil, these people, they don't treat me right. Always blaming other people. Blaming other people is an indication of weakness. I know it's strong this morning. I didn't know it was going to come out this way. I'm really, you might think I'm directing this towards you. I'm directing this towards myself right now. You might not can see that, but I'm just preaching to myself. There's some things I'm going to get over. Anybody else with me?
Yes,
I'm preaching real strong to myself. If you think it's directed towards you, it's really directed to upright. Get a hold of me. That's the way I am with myself right now. No, it's not that everything around you is too great and too big. All of these things are against me. It's that, you know, putting the blame on somebody else. It's that. He said, our strength is too small. In other words, it's our fault if we're fainting. The condition of our spirit is our responsibility.
Yeah.
It's not God's responsibility to keep us strong. Remember in Joshua, over and over, you read Joshua 1, verses, really, all the way down through verse 8, 1 through 8, but especially verses, all the way through 9. In fact, let's go over there. Oh, Jesus, there's so much to say. Go to Joshua. Let's look at chapter 1. Notice God's direction to Joshua is very, very interesting. Praise God. Joshua 1, let's look at verse number 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of their foot, or your foot, shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness, this Lebanon, he just basically tells them how much is theirs. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Amen. You need to underline that. That's a promise for you as well. Amen. Nothing can block you going forward in your life.
Hallelujah.
Man, yeah. Demons, anything. Circumstances, nothing can keep you from going forward. But he gave him a key. There's a key here. We got to keep reading. Nothing shall be able to stand before you all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Then look at verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. I like them putting together strength and courage. So what we see then is discouragement is a indication of weakness. Because if this is true, the opposite would be true. Only be thou strong, verse 7, and very courageous, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Ooh, there's a key to prosperity then. Verse 8 is the key. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Meditation is feeding the spirit. That's taking that word in to feed your spirit. Remember the Bible said, wait on the Lord over there. And Isaiah says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not get weary. Yeah, it's like physically running. You got to have the right amount of calorie intake in order to maintain the strength to finish a marathon or something. And in our race, running our race, we got to keep on taking in the spiritual calories.
Amen.
Amen. To be able to finish.
Yeah.
I'm not going to drag across the finish line, man. I'm going to run across the finish line. Hallelujah. The Lord said to me a number of years ago, whenever I was, we were remodeling this auditorium, what was that, 10 years ago or whatever, and I was getting up early in the morning and coming up here most time meeting contractors in order to get them started because they start early, and I wasn't taking an alternative time to feed my spirit. And I don't remember how long I did that, for 2 weeks or so, and I woke up one morning, I couldn't even move. I couldn't get out of bed. And I said, oh, I don't know what it was, sciatic nerve or something. I couldn't move. I just like, oh, couldn't move. And so I laid there and fed my spirit, called up here and had somebody else do some things. And I was feeding my spirit, and I started, because listen, most of the time whenever things come against people, they think the first thing they need to do is resist it. Well, if you're strong enough and you've been feeding your spirit, fine. But a lot of times spiritual warfare begins with building up your strength. Amen. You need to get a hold of that. Not just going out into battle, fighting and resisting and all of that. How about taking care of the strength? Remember the Bible, the strength area. The Bible said, when a strong man armed keeps his goods, his palace, his goods are in peace. Then he said, but when a stronger than him comes against him, he'll take his armor and his goods and divide the spoil. Whenever Satan comes against you, you need to be stronger than him. Because if you're weak, he'll rob from you. That's right. That's what that verse is talking about.
Yes, sir.
And that's what he did for me. He got me down, weak, and started robbing me. And couldn't even get out of bed. And the Lord, I was meditating on the word. The Spirit of God spoke to me. He said, it takes more strength to walk where you're walking now. I understood instantly what he's talking about. He wasn't saying, I need to ask God for more strength. He said, I need to take into my spirit more than ever before to walk where I'm walking in the spirit right now. Because if I don't, Satan's going to come in. He's looking for an opportunity to take me out. You too. You can't. The further you go, the less you can afford to just go and wing it and hope you got what it takes. Especially if you're called to the ministry. When you're called to the ministry, you're giving out. You're giving out. You're giving out. You're giving out of your spirit. You work all week physically. I work spiritually and physically and mentally. And I got to take in. Amen. Well, I don't know anybody, people looking at me funny. But so I take in a large portion every day. I take in. Hallelujah. Now, back here to Joshua, he said, meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous and have good success. Thou shalt have good success. Notice again, verse number 9. Have not I suggested to you? What's that word? Strong. Staying strong is not a suggestion. And it's not an option. If you're going to finish your race, if you're going to do the will of God, if you're going to be successful, if you're going to stay in faith, stay in love, keep the flesh under. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So this is not an option. This is a command. There's more attached to it than we realize. Now, let me go through some things here. Here's a few things that many reasons you might say why this is a command and not an option. Remember, he said right here in Joshua, he said that you and I can't stay courageous without continually being strengthened by feeding on the word. Notice he mentioned here feeding on the word. Meditating on the word. So these verses connect being very courageous to the word being in us and being strong.
Yeah, right.
In other words, you and I cannot ward off discouragement and the temptation to not just keep on pressing into the plan of God without continually having infusions of spiritual strength into our spirit.
Amen.
Now, we can still go through the motions. We can still mouth words that sound like a confession of faith. We can still go through all the motions of faith, but wonder why nothing is working. You understand? And it can look like it from the outside that we're just going through the motions, but that doesn't make you able to produce anything. Jesus said, unless you abide in me, and the Amplified says, maintain a living union with me. That's not just through being born again. That's the beginning of it. But that's talking about staying constantly in a place where you're taking in of everything that he is. And that happens through fellowshipping with him. Feeding on his word, spending time in his presence, like we've been talking about, fellowshipping with him. I don't know that most Christians do much fellowshipping. I've been around too many, and I can just all the signs are there. They don't get much fellowship. I didn't say they didn't go to church. I'm talking about real food coming into their spirits. Amen. If it wasn't for other believers, a lot of believers would be fainting. Amen. Thank God for other believers. God's given us each other. But you need to live in such a way, it doesn't matter if anybody else is going to stay encouraged. I got a source of encouragement and strength that I will never quit, never give up. I'll never get offended. I'll never anything, because I keep on staying strong. And it's not dependent on whether somebody else stays strong or not. It's depending on me learning to go to this secret place of the Most High and fellowshipping with him, taking in what he is. Taking in who he is. Let's go away. There's some things I'm going to go through here about this. I'm going to come back to that. But let's go back here to 2 Peter. I keep having this come up in my spirit. I believe I need to get to this today before we run out of time here. 2 Peter 1, verse 4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Notice that, partakers of the divine nature. He's talking to us as believers who are already born again. The divine nature came into us as in the new birth. That nature is love, joy, peace, all those fruit of the Spirit. That came into us. Temperance, faithfulness, you know, all those perseverance, all those fruit of the Spirit. That nature is in us. We have been made partakers of the divine nature through the new birth. But he's not writing to people who have not yet partaken of it. He's writing to people who are already born again, partaken of the divine nature. And he said, by these promises, by the word of God, you can continue to take in and feed your spirit on that divine nature. You know as well as I do, although the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, that if we don't feed that love, we get weak in the love walk. Isn't that right? And when it comes to temperance, the fruit of the spirit of temperance, that means controlling our body and controlling our mind. If we get weak spiritually, our thought life starts to go uncontrolled. Our body, the appetites of our flesh start to go uncontrolled because we're weak. We don't have the strength. You need a Gomer Pyle body and a Arnold Schwarzenegger spirit. I'm not talking about little emaciated physical body. I'm talking about the lust of your flesh need to become weak like Gomer Pyle. And Arnold Schwarzenegger's spirit says, do this. And the body goes, okay. And the spirit man is ruling and reigning and dominating over the flesh. It's called temperance. But if that gets weak before we know it, where that divine nature in us starts losing that strength. So what he's saying, and we start yielding to the flesh. So what he's saying is all these attributes of this divine nature, all the forces, all the qualities of that divine nature, they need to be strengthened and fed daily. We can partake of that divine nature. We can feed that divine nature. And what happens is we can develop all those things and be strong in all those attributes of God's divine nature within our spirits. That's talking about the life of God that came into us when we were born again. Here's what you need to know about the life of God. It needs to be maintained. Amen. Somebody said, it's in me. I'm born again. That life is in me. Yeah. But if you don't maintain it and keep it strong, it's in you, but it's not flowing through you into anything in your life to produce any victories. Vine and branch. The vine has to stay in the branch has to stay in the vine in order to produce fruit out on the branch. Isn't that right? You need not just the life of God in you. You need it flowing through you to produce some things in your life.
Amen.
How about a better marriage because of the love walk? How about discipline of your mind and your thoughts? How about producing the life of God in your flesh to keep your body strong? How about just staying encouraged and staying in faith and staying in the love walk and all these things?
Amen.
Amen. I've had times where I said, honey, I know it's date night, but listen, I'm not going to be much of a date tonight. I need some time with Jesus right now. And she said, you need some time with Jesus right now. You ever gotten weak and before you know it, you're just, praise the Lord. Everything needs to be kept strong by feeding it. Everything in your spirit needs daily infusions of that life from taking in from the very word that the Bible said we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, by the word of God that lives and abides forever. That's what gave us the new birth, and that's what keeps feeding that life into our spirits. We need regular food in order to stay strong. Faith, for example, needs to be kept, needs to keep taking in order to be able to keep giving out. Love does too. There's self-control, faithfulness, joy, all these things. They need to keep being fed in order to be able to maintain. You need to maintain faithfulness. It's not enough that you were faithful for a day. Well, tell your neighbor he's preaching better than your amen. So there's some skills we need that to develop in order to have a successful Christian life. And this is one of them, feeding our spirit, developing our spirits, strengthening our spirits, being renewed day by day. And one of the benefits of that is this spiritual edification, this renewal. Now, we're going to go through a few things before we close. And one of the benefits is, of practicing this lifestyle is strength of spirit to stay full of courage, not get discouraged. Can you say amen? Another one is the strength of spirit to stay encouraged so you can do what? He said in Joshua, you could go in and possess the land. So the strength of spirit, go to Ephesians 3 here and look at that verse. We quoted it or referred to it in the King James, or actually I think also the Amplified. We looked at 3:16, but look at some other things in the context here. King James and the King in the third chapter here of Ephesians in verse number 16, that he would grant you, King James, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Now look at verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. The word comprehend there can throw you off if you're not careful. You look it up, the word comprehend literally means to grasp, to seize, to lay hold of. So let's read it that way. Verse 16 and 18 together, it says that that you would be strengthened in order to grasp and seize and lay hold of.
Yes.
Lay hold of what? What all that love has provided for you. The love that God has for you and all that's in that love. So lay hold or lay fast of the rights and privileges in Christ is what he's talking about. Faith is a grip on the promises of God.
Amen.
Faith means, remember 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. That's something that you do with your spirit, not your mind, not your flesh physically. You lay hold with your spirit. And faith is a grip on the word of God. Faith is a laying hold of what God said and possessing it. Taking hold of it and pulling it and receiving it, taking it to yourself. Hallelujah. You got a hand physically, or two hands physically, but you've got a spiritual hand where you can reach out and lay hold of what God said and say, that's mine, I take it now. I'm not going to die young because he said, long life, he'll satisfy me and show me his salvation. I'll live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Your spirit can reach out and lay hold of that and take hold of it, and the devil can't kill you. There's enough power in those words to make themselves come to pass. Whew, glory to God. But your spirit, they don't come to pass hanging out here in the air. They come to pass because your spirit had the strength to reach out and lay hold of it and say, I take it to myself. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold not only on the long life in heaven, but lay hold on the quality of living God has for us down here. Oh, glory. So that's why you need strength of spirit. Another one is to stand strong against the enemy. That's what it's all about in Ephesians 6, where it talks about putting on the armor. Remember, it starts out Ephesians 6:10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Then he goes down through there that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Strength just keeps on standing whenever everybody else goes home and said it's over. Strength just keeps on looking at staring the devil in the face and defying him and saying, no, it's written. It's written. That's strength. Amen. Amen. It defies everything seen. It defies what the devil's saying. It defies everything everybody else is saying. And said, no, I heard from God. Hallelujah. Not only do you need strength to stand in faith, but strength to stand against temptation and the flesh. Isn't that right? When we are weak spiritually, we give in to the temptations of the flesh. Yeah, you still knew it was wrong, but you just didn't have the strength to say no right at the time. In fact, you walked right into it knowing fully, this is wrong, I shouldn't be doing this. Isn't that right? You may even still want to do right on the inside, but you don't have the strength within you to respond to the Spirit anymore. You've gotten spiritually weak, and now the flesh is the Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know. Somebody said, well, how can I stay strong spiritually? Whatever you feed keeps getting stronger. If I had two tigers in my backyard, cages back in the back of the house tied up or in cages, and I fed one of them half a cow a day, and the other one I just threw a mouse every day. And then after 3 months of that, I put them out in the backyard to fight. I can predict 100% which one's going to win. Isn't that right? Well, why is it a mystery why some people's flesh keeps winning? Because they've been feeding it. I'm not talking about food. I'm talking about the lust of it, the nature of it, the desire for sin and so forth and so on. They keep feeding it, and their spirit, they don't feed. And so whenever it comes to the battle between their spirit dominating them or their flesh dominating them, the flesh rises up and takes over every single time. You can reverse that. Stop feeding the flesh and keep on feeding your spirit. Amen. Keep on feeding your spirit. Amen? Amen? Amen. This is good preaching, I'll tell you what. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm bragging on the utterance of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so he said there, be strong, and then take the shield of faith, take the armor of God, and stand against these wiles of the devil. And included in that was, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's the only offensive weapon in the whole armor. The other ones are strong to stand against the enemy. The sword of the Spirit is taking the word and charging forward with it. And he said there, you need strength to be able to wield that sword of the Spirit. Isn't that what that's saying? And so it takes strength. You could say this. It takes strength to keep walking in faith. Keep walking in the divine kind of love. Keep exercising authority. Another reason it takes strength is like we already said in John 15. It's kind of repeating the same thing, saying it a different way. We need strength in order to keep bearing fruit. And boy, does everyone around us get blessed by us keep bearing fruit. Hey, amen. Whenever other people are growing in love, boy, it just blesses all of us, doesn't it? To keep bearing fruit through the strength we receive by abiding in the vine. Another thing is that we need strength, and we can partake of the divine nature of God in the new birth, but also through feeding our spirits, and it develops all the forces of the spirit, the new spirit nature. We've already really said this. Amen. And so these are just a few of the benefits. Now, you can see here that it's up to us that we do this. It's not up to God. Can you see what I'm talking about? Let's wrap this up by saying this is not something that you have to wait on somebody else for. This is not a one-time-a-week kind of thing. The Bible said, give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Not getting your daily bread. In other words, if we try to get weekly bread, we stay weak. Amen. You know, I'm not going to be able to stand strong against the devil getting weak. Amen. You know, there's a whole side to this we haven't even talked about this morning, and that is being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a source of being strengthened. Strength of spirit. Hallelujah. But anyway, in order to wrap this up, there's another term used by Peter in Acts 3:19. He was preaching there. He said, times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. Times is plural. Isn't that right? We don't just need one time of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. I hear people talking about sometimes they keep referring back to the day they got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Oh, it was such a glory. It was so glorious. I remember. I never forget it. Well, I never forget it either. But that has not been the greatest day of my life. You know, the new birth really is the greatest day of our life. But people look back at some experience that they had where they're baptized in the Holy Ghost, and they point back to the greatest day of their life. And the problem with it is what it was back in 1973. Yeah. What about yesterday?
Right.
Amen. Amen. What about this morning?
Amen.
Come on. More has the greatest. This is a stream that never dries up. This is a refreshing you can drink from anytime you want. Times, plural. It doesn't just mean one time of refreshing. We can have continual times of refreshing and learn to set aside time in His presence in order for in prayer and fellowship and get it anytime we need it. Did you ever notice in Hebrews He said, come boldly to the throne of grace? He didn't say at least once a day. You can go there 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 6 times, 7 times a day if you need it.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. The great vast resource that remains untapped in so many believers' lives. So we must need these times or else God would not have provided them for us. Say to your neighbor, you do need these times. Especially during tests and trials. Why? Because they have a way of taking more out of you, don't they? Standing and resisting what you see. Standing and resisting the temptation to quit. That takes energy out of you. See, your spiritual condition is not static. It's ebbing and flowing all the time. It's always changing. If something's taking more out, you're going to have to take more in. If something's really challenging your love walk, you got to feed that love. Don't think it's static. Don't think, I'm just as strong as I ever have been. Well, if you've been feeding, you are. If you've been taking in, you are. Maybe stronger. You can be stronger. But it's not automatic just because, you know, you're saved. Not automatic. Can you say amen?
Amen?
We must need these times of renewal and refreshing, or the Spirit of God wouldn't have provided them for us. Thank God they've been provided. Now, one way to maintain this spiritual strength, and I'm closing, is and to be continually renewed, is feeding on God's Word. 1 John 2:14, if you want to turn there, you can. I'm going to read it real quick. You can write it down. But he said this, talking to the young men, 1 John 2:14, I have written unto you, fathers, because you've known Him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong. Well, how'd they get strong? By working out at the gym? No. The Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. He's talking to young men whose passions flare up at that age. Hormones start flowing. How can you young men overcome those hormones and temptations?
Right.
And young women too. Tell your neighbor, young women too.
Yeah.
How can you overcome that? Get the Word into you.
Yes.
What happens when you get the Word into you? You get strong.
Yes.
You get strong.
Yes.
You are strong. The Word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the wicked one.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh, so he's saying the young men have the strength and power to successfully wield the sword of the Spirit, because whenever that word's in you, you got to take that word and use it.
Yes.
When the temptation comes, you got to answer it with the sword.
Yes.
with the sword of the Spirit. So he's saying they have the power and strength to successfully wield that sword of the Spirit and defeat every yoke that Satan, the enemy, tries to bind them with through this infusion of strength that comes into their spirit that as they fill themselves up with the Word of God. Because they feed on it and meditate on it. The Word doesn't get in you and I just because we put it under our pillow and by osmosis it gets in. It doesn't even get in you because it's playing in the house. You got to attend to it. Put your eyes on it, your ears on it. Block out time. We have a culture that can't focus. Well, let me rephrase that. They will not focus. You need to develop the discipline of focusing, attending, and deciding what you're going to think on rather than letting everybody else decide what you're going to think on. The TV, the internet, whatever pops up on your Facebook feed, decide on what you're thinking on. You got to make a decision. I'm going to think on this for an hour or whatever it is. You might not have the strength to start out with an hour, but start out with 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then say, I'm going to block everything out for 10 minutes and just feed my spirit on this verse or a few verses here or this chapter in this book written about the Word or something, you know. Amen. And then as you grow, you can get stronger and you can go for 15, then a half hour, and then however long. Somebody said, how long do I need to feed myself every day until your spirit's satisfied? You can get satisfied pretty quick some days. Other days, like yesterday, I pretty much had all day. I just wasn't satisfied. I had to go get a haircut and stuff, but after that, I got it. Amen.
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 And you know when it's satisfied.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, when you're eating at the table, do you know whenever you're satisfied?
Yeah.
On Thanksgiving Day, you know whenever you... you know that. You know when that comes, don't you?
Yeah.
The sweet potatoes don't even smell good anymore. They Well, you can get that way spiritually where, Mr. Devil, you're defeated.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Joshua 1, as we already read those verses 6, 7, and 9, he said, be strong. And right in the middle of that, he said, meditate on the Word. So the Word is the key to that. Isn't that right? If we lose our vital connection to the life of God through being distracted by worldly and earthly things, we may still have the life of God within us, but it's not flowing through us in order to enable us to produce anything. And so we still know what to do, and we still know what we ought to do, but we just don't have the strength to do it, and we may go through the motions of faith, but there's no real force or strength coming out of us, no life to produce anything, and we wonder why. Right here's the reason why. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Well, did you get anything out of that?
Amen.
I've got more. I don't know if we'll get any more out or what, but we've got to stop just thinking we can just keep on giving out and not take in. There's statistics. I don't even remember what they are. It's been so long. So many number of ministers quitting the ministry every month in the United States. It's hundreds and hundreds and in the United States. Well, there's only one reason for that. Well, it could be a number of reasons. Maybe they just weren't called to begin with. But I think one of the main reasons is they just get their focus on all the tests and trials everybody's going through and don't keep themselves strong. Amen. Burnout is whenever you give out more than you take in. That's all burnout is. I don't believe we have to burn out. You understand what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody said, I'd rather burn out than rust out. Well, the problem is you don't have to do either one. Amen. You can finish your course with joy intact. Hallelujah.